14 years have gone by, but thinking back, you may remember that terrible July of 1995, during which the so-called Srebrenica massacre took place. You may remember the news that slowly filtered through, telling the world of the more than 8,000 Muslim men and boys in the Bosnian town of Srebrenica who were summarily executed by Bosnian Serb forces as they sought safety in an isolated enclave that had been proclaimed a protected zone by a United Nations Security Council resolution. That massacre was perpetrated by Bosnian Serb forces commanded by General Ratko Mladic under the direction of the then President of the Republika Srpska, Radovan Karadzic. You may also remember that at that time, nearly 25,000 women, children and elderly people were killed or forcibly deported, making this event the biggest war crime to take place in Europe since the end of the Second World War. 14 years have gone by, but for the first time on 11th of July 2009, the commemorative ceremony of the Srebrenica genocide was officially celebrated, not only in Bosnia, but in all European Union countries. This is thanks to a resolution by the European Parliament that has finally declared this date to be the day of commemoration of the Srebrenica genocide. That is important news, I thought, because as I learnt years ago while doing programmes with World War II veterans, remembering is so important. History lessons are not just chapters in books. They are to be passed from generation to generation so that mistakes and terrible tragedies be avoided in the future. And turning back to the Bosnian genocide, only 14 years have gone by, but already, for some, the memory is dim.
Especially young Bosnians, Serbs in particular.
Kemal Pervanic is a Bosnian Muslim survivor of the concentration camps of the Bosnian Serb War.
There's a whole new generation of young Serb teenagers who were either born during the war or after the war and who don't remember what kind of life we lived before the war, togetherness that existed between all different nationalities and religions. And these young people don't remember what happened during the war. Unfortunately, they know what they are told by their parents, and the prevailing belief in the Serb community, at least the Serb community where I come from the northwest of Bosnia, is that they themselves were the real victims of this war. And on my journeys back to Bosnia, I can see these young Serbs sporting images of Karadzic on their T-shirts because he's their national hero. And for me, most of these teenagers are what I called a lost generation. And it's a real, real shame because these people are the future of the country.
So, as Jasna Krivozic-Pripic, ambassador of Bosnia and Herzegovina to the Holy See, told me, a commemoration such as this is important for more reasons than one. Not only does it contain a lesson for the world over, but for those whose lives were disrupted and marred by the tragedy, it is a way to shape a collective memory so that they can move forward and in some way reconstruct normality. Paying respect to the victims of the Srebrenica tragedy, Ambassador Krivozic-Pripic said, also means honouring European values.
For the relatives of those who are identified, they are satisfied that their remains can finally be buried and find peace and laid to rest. Majority of them, I have to point out that we are civilians, a lot of them innocent children. They were in so-called safe zone, protected by international community and General Mladic promised publicly. But human integrity is very often questionable and promises are made not always to be kept. And I think we all have to address this painful issue to remember, not to forget, to avoid that such a tragedy happens again.
The ambassador told me that if you go to Srebrenica today, you can visit the Srebrenica Memorial Room, a specially designed museum-style space to remember and reflect on the terrible massacre.
This idea was proposed by Lord Ashdown, former High Representative in Bosnia and Herzegovina, who visited the Imperial War Museum London's Holocaust exhibition and felt that something similar was needed at Srebrenica Potočare Cemetery to narrate the events of July 1995, when over 8,000 Bosnian Muslim men and boys were murdered following the taking over of Bosnian Serb forces. The memorial itself was designed by local architects and consists of two black towers. This might be interesting for your listeners. One presenting a continuous running film, the other containing 20 showcases telling the stories of 20 those who died. Ms. Susan Barget, director of Holocaust exhibition at London's Imperial War Museum, was curator and advisor to the local team.
As I mentioned at the beginning, numerous commemorative events were in fact organized throughout the European Union.
In Bosnia-Herzegovina, the one which I would like to mention is the exhibition of well-known painters, Tikveša and Zec, dedicated to Srebrenica, but at the same time to pay tribute to the European parliamentarian Italian Alexander Lendner, who killed himself in 1995 since he could not bear to watch the passivity and lack of involvement of the international community. These days also remembered all over the globe. I'm just giving examples. In Berlin, in front of Bundestag and Brandenburg Gate, four evenings of performance. Actors will call the names of the UN and NATO officials, decision makers who called back the warplanes flying over Adriatic, being ready to prevent the massacre.
The commemorations, Ambassador Krivosic Pripic told me, are important as they contain an important history lesson not to be forgotten by future generations.
Right now in Bosnia-Herzegovina is on its path to the European Atlantic integration, and we are making efforts to strengthen interreligious dialogue, supporting work of the Interreligious Council, Commission for Justice, Truth and Reconciliation, introducing Culture for Peace in its educational programs. Together with the international community, state authorities are trying to revive economy, locating projects in Srebrenica which will be attractive for investment and create conditions for sustainable return and prosperous life. A clear common vision, unity, respect of human rights and religious freedoms can bring us closer to the European Union.
Ambassador, the Balkans is a difficult area. As we were speaking on the phone the other day, you mentioned the need to overcome in some way so that it doesn't become a vicious circle and the violence does not reignite. Do you think that we are on the right road to doing that?
The pace, for me personally, is not perhaps good enough. But I think if the people, first of all, locally and then internationally, we'll understand, we'll just have a big picture and we'll understand that we need, like I already mentioned, clear common vision and unity, respecting at the same time human rights and religious freedoms. That really could speed up the process of reconciliation and at the same time of economic growth for the country and the region as a whole. And that's the only way out. It's if we talk about past, we have to remember, we have to pay respect, but we have to think about future and the new generations, and we need critical mass of people who are for the fresh start. But before that, we have to address painful subjects. Srebrenica is just one of them.
It's very, very painful. I went onto a web page just to brush up the facts and, you know, just read the figures again. And I found it very, very difficult to read and to look at. And all this knowing that in other parts of the world, something similar is happening today.
Yes, it's devastating. And because of that, I pointed out those three, perhaps, commemoration events or data just to make people think how important it is, because human nature is difficult to be changed. So how important it is really to predict and to prevent and to think and address those subjects of human integrity and real values, human values, and because it could happen. It's happening. It happened in Rwanda. It's happening these days in other countries. But it's a problem of perhaps clear rules, and also of a commitment and involvement of people. And I just, because of that, pointed out this young Italian who killed himself. It's rare, rare example. Most of them can live with their conscience, obviously.
Thank you very, very much, Ambassador. You seem to have faith in human nature.
You have to. That's the only way, I think, to be positive somehow and to create positive energy.